Is that you, the internet? Well, hello. This is a different kind of intro because Miles... Wait, what is that? I hear clicking. Well, look, guys, welcome to the Daily Zeitgeist, Season 42, Episode 2, for July 31st, 2018. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Miles a genie in a bottle, baby. Gotta rub me the Zeitgray, honey. Ooh, Chapman Rice with the heat. Thank you so much to Chapman Rice. And I have a special guest co-host, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm hearing clicks. Is that... What am I hearing?
You're being hacked.
Am I being hacked? Wait,
being
hold on.
Hacked, dude.
Oh, I think I'm being hacked.
Swordfish, Matrix.
Hold on. Oh, it is. It's the hacker. It's Jamie Loftus. Help me, Jamie. Actually, no. Welcome, Jamie. Hi, how are you? You hacked the show.
This is Jamie Loftus, a.k.a. the hacker who codes, a.k.a. Hack O'Brien.
Oh, you've been hacked.
You've been Hack O'Brien. I have two children. Their names 0 and 1.
Well, welcome, Hack O'Brien. So lovely for you to join us. And we are joined by... very wonderful guest, a hilarious stand-up comedian, writer, host of the podcast Suicide Brothers.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Do you write or do you not write?
No, I'm just joking. I've never heard myself explained in such glorious terms.
Oh, well, that's great because you just fucked up your own intro, Hampton. But hey, you're also the co-host of the podcast Suicide Buddies with yesterday's guest, Dave Ross. Please welcome.
You slipped into Australian accent almost instantly.
Please welcome Hampton Yun.
Hey.
How are you, man?
Hey, babies.
What's up, baby?
Hello, little babies.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Hampton, before we get into knowing all about you and some of your search history and overrated, underrated, and all that, let's do a little precap, as they say on the internet, about what we got coming up today.
Computer enhanced
precap, engage. Right now, we're going to be talking about attorneys general from about 20 states are trying to block the proliferation of your own 3D printed guns you can make at home.
Let us have it.
The Koch brothers released a study on that dangerous Medicare for All scheme that would give people, you know, health care with some very interesting, really interesting results.
I'm more scared of the Diet Koch brothers.
Wow, you're checked in. Also, we've got more information, or actually the announcement from Jeff Sessions about the Religious Liberty Task Force. We're going to talk about ICE and CBP. Obviously not good stuff with them. Some Benghazi stuff with Les Moonves. A little bit about Mila Kunis. Maybe found out what exactly she did to poor Macaulay Culkin. In addition to some tea, a tea report from Mr. T himself, Topher Grace, on how he used to date Ivanka Trump. And also, I guess Bigfoot's dick is also a thing that's actually becoming a part of an actual congressional race.
Swinging long and low.
And that's not a joke. We're
Bigfoot's
literally
got a tiny dick.
Well... according to these
micropene,
these drawings say otherwise, Hampton. But yes, before we do all that, Hampton,
hey,
my man, what is something from your search history that lets people know sort of what you're about?
What I'm about, I was searching my own name.
Amazing.
Very egotistical.
Okay. Do you have a Google alert?
No.
You just hopped on Google and you said Hampton Yun.
Yeah, I wanted to see if my video that I of my stand-up I put up on Pornhub was still up there, and it was.
It was?
Yeah.
They really let anything on there.
What are the comments like?
Very good.
Oh, nice.
Very good. Very funny. Very stern. I don't think they want to possibly complicate things by being like, ooh.
When did you upload your stand-up to Pornhub?
Wait, when?
Yeah.
Like 6 months ago.
What's the view count at?
It's like close to 900. I'm hoping to tip it over 1,000. I want to get there.
Crazy.
By the end of the summer, you got to get those summer views.
I wonder if people...
summer views, guys. Got to get them in.
Guys, if you're having a good summer, check out my stand-up on Pornhub. It's under Hampton Yunt cracks up audience with stand-up comedy, 3 exclamation points.
So even anyone who's on Pornhub and they see that, there's nothing even to remotely suggest that it's pornography.
I'm just saying, take a break, guys. Yeah. It's not all about J&O. It's not all about beating off.
It's about the LOLs.
Sometimes it's about the LOLs.
Exactly.
And the ROFLs, if I can praise myself.
Wow, yeah. You know, reach for the stars, man.
Reach
stars.
For them. Grab them and bring them to you. Hampton, what's something that's overrated?
Overrated is coffee.
Wow. Okay, go
right?
on.
Because everyone feels like they need it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taken a couple days where I just didn't feel like going to get one or getting new grounds or anything. And I was like, yeah, I feel a little tired, but I feel it's weird that I just need to constantly drink coffee to exist.
Right. Are you kind of wired like that?
Yeah, I need like at least 2 a day. Sometimes it's 3.
I drink like 1 cold brew before the show. That's, and I don't even know if it really gets me all hyped up. It could be a total placebo effect. but no, I feel the same way.
Cold brew is harsh,
I'm I'm caffeine like insensitive. Like I can drink espresso and fall asleep.
That's what I'm saying. I think we're making more than a generation of people who are just desensitized to caffeine.
Yeah, it could be just
that
drugs.
Can't be right.
I can't. I mean, it's like I don't feel more energized when I have coffee, but I definitely feel when I don't have it because I get very mean.
Really?
Everyone like, says
yeah,
that,
but
isn't that like the withdrawal.
Sound of an addict?
Yeah. Like, you know, I get like mean, I get like nosebleeds.
I start hitting cops.
Start hacking.
I don't hack for good. I hack for evil.
Oh, you become a black hat hacker.
God. You know, I put my black hat on hacking. And I start hacking for banks when I don't have my coffee. It's really bad.
You hack for Chase.
That's awesome. Exactly. And I'm going to get them their money back.
Exactly. They're nice guys.
They're deeply nice guys. Trust in Chase, guys.
Yeah.
Well, let's make it there just be one bank.
When did you start drinking coffee, though?
When did I start?
Yeah.
Boy, I think I got into coffee ice cream before I got into coffee.
Whoa.
Wow.
Gateway. Serious, guys. Mm-hmm. That's the gateway drug. And then I think, boy, a little on the, like, just ending college.
Right.
Just when your body starts suddenly being like, hey, I'm tired.
Right. I just feel like, I guess I've accepted it.
I'm like high
and I don't realize.
That's what I'm saying. People are too
is.
Hyped because now it's like, why are there so many fucking coffee places around the earth? It's like, it's nonstop.
Yeah, the
like,
boom is insane. I don't know how people, like how many of those places really stay afloat because I feel like the market is so saturated. You can get coffee like in 8 different ways within like an arm's reach.
But there's only 7 Dunkin' Donuts in LA. So it like, it's actually kind of hard for some of us to get what we need.
Yeah,
and what
it's
we
actually
want.
Kind of like so, a crisis.
It
is
what
I'm tricky.
I mean, it is hard.
Our brand is crisis.
So a few weeks ago, I was in Boston and I ran into a woman who used to work at a Dunkin' Donuts. I don't think you can call the people who work at Dunkin' Donuts baristas per se. Mm. Because they don't really prepare. It's more of a
This
dump.
Is classism for sure.
No, but this is...
Well, do they make lattes? Do they use any kind of a steaming machine?
I guess they are, but they don't even call themselves baristas. It's kind of weird.
They don't even call themselves human. They hate life.
But I ran into my someone who used to work at the Dunkin' Donuts near me forever, and she was just like, oh my gosh, you're the only person who ever ordered tuna at the Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh my God.
And I was like, wait, really? And she's like, yeah, we used to talk about it. And because they did, they would call me tuna when I would come in.
Gotta get that morning tuna burn.
Yeah.
That pumps me for the rest of the day.
Tuna on a croissant. And they'd be like, tuna. And I'd be like, hey.
That's delicious.
Before the office, even?
Before the office, yeah. And then and then one day they did discontinue the tuna because it was poison. It was just like mayonnaise. Like
they were
just
actually
took it away.
Shipping in E. coli from Chipotle to put on it.
For me. And then they were like, there's no more tuna. And I remembered that day. We talked about it.
Is that why you tweeted something about being really upset about the canceled tuna?
Yeah, they canceled. I mean, now it's canceled across the board. But we were one of the beta locations where tuna was canceled real early.
Okay, all right.
Dunkin' Donuts should get behind it and be like, we've heard about the crisis of overfishing tuna, and we're taking a stand.
Yeah, exactly.
No more.
I'm in a Facebook group to bring back the Subway seafood sensation.
Oh, God.
Good thing you're doing it. In my toilet.
It's all about advocacy. Hampton, what's something that's underrated?
Underrated, I was going to say Queen, the band. Mm. I was like thinking, because I've just been listening to them a lot recently. I'm like, they were probably one of the best live like performing rock and roll bands. Rock and or roll.
Yeah, rock and or.
Rock and?
Get all of them.
I'm excited for the movie.
Yeah, the movie looks good. I think that'll be fun.
Little hacker, Rami Malek.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He hacked Freddie Mercury's ghost.
Yeah, he hacked Sacha Baron Cohen and got him to
leave
that.
Yeah.
Hampton, what's a myth? What's something that people get wrong that you know to be true? Or maybe that's something people think is true that you know to be false, vice versa.
Do you understand?
It's so rapid fire. Russian collusion!
Oh, I lost
Go my on.
Oh, I don't have time.
What do you mean?
I don't have time to do all of Mueller's case.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, tell me, just give me the top line notes.
Top line notes is I've never seen somebody so embarrassingly bad at lying as Trump. Like, it's just funny at a certain point.
Yeah, right.
Where it's like in the way they talk, it's like, this is embarrassing. And Giuliani, too. Like, he got kind of the perfect lawyer.
To embarrass
the same
himself.
Sort of like, they're really just good at media, but they do not know how to talk or function like an intelligent human being.
So what is the myth exactly that you're saying, that you're trying to dispel?
I don't know.
That the Robert Mueller investigation
will save
people?
A lot of people think it's bullshit or, you know, that it's like just a sham.
Right, and you're saying it isn't.
It has, like, actual backing.
Yeah, okay. Like, well, that's good. Support. So, yeah, I think our audience would mostly agree with you on that one.
No, that's the thing. You can't assume everybody's on board.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, the Zeit gang out here, they're ready for Mueller. It's Mueller time.
A lot of
I feel like
takes
people are more concerned
gang.
With the day-to-day stuff.
Yeah.
That happens with them. And it's like, well, you should take more of a long view if you really want to, like, actually impeach this guy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's a tough question of whether or not, some people are like, I can't wait to see Trump just, marched out of the White House in his striped pajamas going to jail or whatever. And, like, I wouldn't invest too much in that fantasy.
I love the prison fantasies that people have. I can't wait for the day when he's just getting reamed in a cell.
Yeah, you're like, whoa, really? That's not how that's going to work. But.
What world do you live in?
Yeah, I think that's just how people are dealing with their stress. Is like, well, that's going to be his end game.
No,
it's going to rot in prison.
It's going to come down to a really, like, nuanced word game of, like,
well that's where
I
we're at
don't
now.
Mean that, yeah. And that doesn't mean that.
Well, we've already gone with, oh, there was no collusion, to
what does that mean?
Giuliani going like, well, what if he did collude? That's not a crime.
Right.
Like, so.
I love that. Just like gaslighting. Like, what if a crime wasn't a crime?
Yeah. It's like, wait, hold on.
And what if he did it? And
ladies
then it wasn't
and gentlemen
a crime.
The jury, I ask you, is mail fraud even fraud?
Yeah.
That's literally like the equivalent of Robert Durst being like, I murdered in self-defense. And then they're like, sounds reasonable.
Sounds good. You're free, sir.
He got away with it.
Now, let me just smell one of those burps. Oh, yummy.
Lean in for one of those burps.
All right. Well,
he's my favorite Durst.
Oh, more than
rolling,
Fred?
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Yeah, Robert Durst was rolling, dude.
Fred's got a jazz night in L.A.
He does?
Yeah, he MCs. He doesn't play. But okay. He's a jazz fan. He brings,
good for him.
Fred Durst is a dabbler. Good for him.
Good for him.
Okay.
I like that he picked up a camera, tried to be a director.
He
still
is.
Yeah.
He's just out here. He's living his best life.
He's cute. Yeah.
Shout out to all the red Yankee hats that people wear.
Shout out to the Nookie.
Yeah, I mean, and stick it up your, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into the news. So right now, obviously, gun control is an ongoing thing that goes on in this country. But there is a large group of attorneys general from many states that are basically suing the Trump administration to block a Texas company from publishing the blueprints for 3D printed guns, like guns you can just legitimately print on your own. So you can be in your home and make an untraceable, undetectable by metal detectors weapon.
Hell yes. Hell yes.
That. First, the Obama administration was suing them to stop it. But then the Trump administration sort of dropped their suit. And the company is called Defense Distributed. And they have, like, want to include all kinds of things like a single shot pistol, an AR-15 lower receiver, which basically that if you have that part, you can buy many of the other parts without really any kind of scrutiny and make your own assault rifle, a Beretta handgun. So this is something that, a lot of people are very worried about because it's like, let's not, we already have a proliferation of gun problem.
We can't regulate the ones that are legally acquired. Like,
I mean, not to be like totally pessimistic, but I've thought about this a lot. And it's funny because it's like, it seems like we're only going to get gun regulation the minute this technology is out of the box.
Right.
There's no way to turn back on 3D printing.
Right.
Like, you can't really fully legislate this the way that people think, and it's like it's too far gone almost. Like, people will be able to print up guns.
Well, yeah. Well, right now I know that they're saying, like, a lot of these plans do exist on, like, the dark web in certain places if you know where to look at it. But,
yeah,
like, they're trying to make it just like, just go to – they want to make it so
– guns aren't that complicated.
Right. But I'm saying in terms of getting the plans for this would just be going to, like, their website, and it's like, download this.
A lot of guns are, like, six parts.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's not even, like – a complicated mechanism. It's a spring-loaded thing a lot of times.
The
this is something a person could design themselves.
But this just makes it that much easier, and I think that's the concern is, like, saying...
It is, but it's like, you can't, like, it's sorry, like, we fucked it up. Like, so we should have taken care of guns back in the fucking, like, late 80s.
Right. So then what would you do to handle this? I mean, like...
Everyone buy a gun and let's all die.
That's the only way.
I don't
way.
Think there's gonna be a way to, like...
Well, Pandora's box is definitely
Pandora's
open.
Box.
Like, there's no way you're going to take all the guns away, I think, from the people who already have them. But I guess at the very least, they should make it as hard as possible for just anyone who – because, there are people who already shouldn't have access to guns, whether that's because of domestic violence or things like that. But I think they absolutely should put the kibosh on making it as easy as, like, I have a 3D printer. I can go to,
but I just
want Defense Distributed and get a blueprint.
I want them to be on top of it, but I want them to also be realistic about where things are going, what could happen technologically inside of, like, 5 years or something. So it's like – It's true. We do need to be proactive, but also, like, I feel like they're chasing the puck a lot of times, to use a hockey analogy. It's like,
Thank you so much. You gotta
go to where it's gonna be. And it's like, they're just.
And then the Zamboni comes in. That's legislation.
The Zamboni comes in.
That's the cleans up.
To clean up the ice.
The Zamboni comes in. Well, we need government Zamboni.
I've been saying it for years.
You're saying you think a lot about the 3D printing thing. So, like, where is the puck going to be that you think is a better way to tackle this problem of, like, widely distributed?
The way I would tackle it would be to go talk to, like, engineers and people who actually, like, work in that field and stuff, and ask them, like, what they think is going to be happening with that technology and how, like, because, say, like, it's a machine right now that you have, it's expensive. Mm-hmm. I don't know if even theoretically this could be something that could be, like, so small, you know?
Right.
Like, the technology could be so accessible, so ready.
Yeah, like, to get a 3D printer
print
in general.
Things. Yeah, to print anything, a knife, whatever, like.
And it's like, I'll throw this out there. A knife.
Yeah, 3D printed
knife. One of the easiest things.
I mean, you can make those with popsicle sticks. So.
The only thing that
you could, like, scan something with your phone, and then, like, it prints from this other device or something.
Oh, right.
Like,
to it could sort be, of it could 3D be, like, scan it.
And that could be inside 5 years.
The only thing that I would be hopeful for, which is, like, a depressing form of hope, is if the NRA can't figure out a way to monetize this in their favor, I could see this being regulated.
Right. Well, which is why,
like, that's because they need to make money off of everything.
Right. You guys got to get in this.
Yeah. They're like, well, we make the ballistic plastic that you need to print this, so you got to buy from us.
Like, if they can't make another $1 billion off of this scam, then what's the point?
Right, which is interesting because Donald Trump this morning, he tweeted, he was just saying, I'm looking into 3D plastic guns being sold to the public.
God.
Already spoke to the NRA. Doesn't seem to make much sense. So it's as if.
Whoa!
Yeah, he's fighting him a little bit. All right.
Well, no, he probably was just like, hey, are y'all cool with this or what should I do?
Like, do you like 3D printed guns? He plays it completely, like, double sided. And it's like, well, you've been paid off by the NRA. So.
Right. And they basically dictate the gun legislation.
I'm not saying they have full control, but, you know, whatever.
I mean,
that's what's funny is, like, I feel like he's so compromised, Trump, by so many different people having money over him that it's like, I think there are some things where he's like, I don't know, like, plastic guns that anybody can get. And then he's just like, he looks at his, like, overlords and he's like, okay.
Well, I guess that's why I'm not sure if that means he's going to, like, do something about it. Because I guess what he's saying is he speaks to the powers that be at the NRA and they're like, we can't make money off this, so get rid of it. And he's like, okay. Doesn't make much sense.
See, there you go.
I think that's essentially
that's more straightforward.
Yeah, rather than talking to maybe the engineers, you're saying, like, where is this technology headed? Is this even the worst thing that can
we
be made with a 3D printer?
We just promote the NRA to fucking put the kibosh on it.
Right.
We use them as, like, our, you know, enemy friend.
They're like, hey, the NRA doesn't like this gun nut, so this can't be good.
Right.
What else? You know, the Koch brothers.
Diet Coke.
Those lovely, lovely boys. They have, like, this think tank where they were basically working on what they thought would be, like, a hit piece or hit study on the whole Medicare for All plan that, you know, Bernie Sanders and many other progressives have been propping up, especially a lot of people who we suspect will be running for president in 2020. But there's also, you know, this thing is obviously a huge threat to the status quo. And there are naysayers from the left and the right who have been like, you know, where is this money going to come from or it'll never work? And the answer is the money will come from all the rich people who aren't paying taxes, like actually rich, not people, not your uncle who's making 200 grand a year, time of people who are making hundreds of millions of dollars.
The funny thing is they eventually do give money to the government, just not through taxes.
Right, exactly.
Through massive payoffs.
Right, exactly.
It's a form of taxation, right?
No, 100%. So.
But it's your choice of taxation, which I think we should have on the low level, right? Like, wouldn't it be great if you're like, okay, I'm never going to have kids, so I'm not going to support schools. I don't give a fuck. But
you don't get anything else.
You want sweet roads.
Well, then what do you do? You get
to
on a,
like,
payment plan?
Down.
Yeah, like, cruise down the one.
Yeah.
On
Listen, I want to, like, launch my Tesla down. I want to lube up the one and launch my Tesla down, like, a slippery little toboggan.
Hell yeah.
And, yeah.
That's a utopia you're describing.
Just cruise the one.
It's impossible. And that's why the Koch brothers have done their part to tear this myth down. I guess they released this study. Well, it's their funded group. I think it's like the Mercatus Institute or whatever, where they were saying, like, they wanted to gross people out at what the price tag is of this whole Medicare for All idea where, you know, yeah. everyone has health yeah. insurance and people just don't die because they literally can't afford it. I mean, that's just, you know.
I'm going to feel like it's going to be surprisingly low.
Well, they were saying that, oh, now hold on to your butts because they're telling us it's going to cost $32 trillion over the next decade. So let's take that in perspective.
Okay. Break down.
That's a huge number. I guess that would be about $3.2 really. Trillion a year for 10 years.
You look at our, like, you know, government spending, though.
Yeah.
Trillions is a pretty normal thing, right. especially over a decade.
But I guess they want to just put it as like, this Medicare for all things is going to cost $32 trillion out the gate.
And then like the quick, like, over the next 10 years.
Over the next 10 years.
And you're like, and my spinal surgery will cost me my life.
Yeah.
So let's just do it.
So in the U.S., right, we spend about $3.3 trillion a year on healthcare costs. That's like, that's between like the government, people, private employers and things like that. That's about what's being spent. So when you take into account like things like inflation and things like that, we would actually end up saving about a little over $2 trillion right. over the next decade if we move to a Medicare for All plan. But again,
man,
I don't think
so
they
sad.
Realized that that's what their study would actually show people. It's like, well,
right.
fine, let's compare that to what we're doing now. It's still cheaper.
I've never
right,
heard
and they're
of
like,
inflation.
But we can't profit off of that.
Right.
I love when rich people cuck themselves. It's such a pleasure to watch.
Well, yeah, especially the Koch brothers.
Well, they
bank
on that no one's going to think about inflation or things like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially the average person. They're like, just what? See, there
right.
it is.
Well, and then you think about like what this actual plan would be. Like the Sanders plan would be to provide comprehensive coverage for all residents of the United States, including primary, preventative care, emergency and hospital services, maternity and newborn care, prescription drugs, substance abuse and mental health services, pediatrics, lab and diagnostic services. It guarantees dental, vision, audiology, and abortion coverage. This is the kind of thing
almost
that,
like, things
that
you need to survive.
Socialism yeah. away from me.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
You commie queer.
Wait, what's this? I
almost
I can
like
be
socialists
helped.
Socialists want us to stay alive.
Nah, yeah.
It's.
I don't see how that works.
Yeah, well, that's just kind of how. That's again when there are massive industries behind it who stand to lose trillions of dollars. That's when they have to activate
so
the machine
weird.
To be like, this is what it's going to cost. I mean, this is too much.
The political, like, or what? I don't know what social structures of say capitalism and socialism is like. It really feels like so many people just cling to capitalism because they're like, it's like playing the lottery all the time where you're like, I could be a millionaire though.
Right.
I could be massively wealthy and like just, you know,
right.
be a star or something like that. And socialism is all just like, I just want everybody to be okay.
Yeah. Let's start from
the selfish.
There. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's just so bizarre.
Let me have $500 million and then like let the poor people fucking deal with it.
Figure it out. Speaking of someone who has literally 3 weeks left of health insurance.
It's been three
story...
weeks. Is it gonna...
and then you're going to die. yeah, this story is infuriating.
Oh, you're about to get off the family plan?
I'm about to do that fun thing that you get to do leading up to your 26th birthday where you just see doctors for the last time. You just see them for the last time. They give you a kiss. It's like the Wizard of Oz
yeah.
over and over.
You break up with them, but
yeah,
it's
you're
sweet.
Just like,
it's
listen,
nice.
It's been,
I don't know
we've
when
had
I'm
a great
you.
Run.
You're going to college, you know? It's you break up with the high school
I'm
boyfriend.
Like, listen, I'm gonna, the gum disease is gonna come back. It's gonna,
and I don't know
I'm
what
gonna
to do.
Start bleeding, you know? What
Can you show me
do?
Some roots I could dig up that would help for this?
I'm literally gonna go to my doctors and be like, so what's like an at-home hack for surgery? Like,
body
what
hack,
could I do?
Body hack, hack the body, yeah, do push-ups. Body hack, do 10 push-ups in the morning, do 10 push-ups in the evening.
Boom. Yeah. Gum disease cured.
Gum disease probably cured.
With push-ups. Yep. All right, guys, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Bye. We're back. That's my
thank you
that's
so much.
My hack O'Brien.
Yeah, you just hacked a show.
Hello, the internet, and we're back.
And you've hacked the show successfully, Jamie. Yes, we're back. Let's talk a little bit about what legal Smeagol Jeff Sessions is up to. because
for me?
Huh?
Is that for me? That's
no,
fun.
Something I completely came up with last night. But
wow.
Since the world does revolve around you, yes, it was
wow!
for you.
Unbelievable.
So he was speaking to a group full of, you know, kind Christian people about how they need not worry about the threat of progress or gays, because he's creating a religious liberty task force that will ensure that essentially the DOJ prioritizes the rights of religious people and groups in its policies and legal battles. And he went on to mention the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, as like this liberal monster that, you know, can too easily throw the label of hate group on nice Christian hate groups like the Family Research Council. That is a straight up anti-gay hate group that just sort of uses the Bible to justify like their horribly homophobic agenda.
Dude, I'm down for America Sharia law.
Yeah, it's pretty soon.
This is going to be dope.
So, yeah, essentially, dude, Sessions is telling people that, you know, if you hate gays for Jesus reasons, then the DOJ will protect you. So the government is, yeah, fully stepping into the culture wars.
This sucks because I was just becoming gay.
Oh, man.
This sucks for me because I decided 3 weeks ago I'm going to be gay.
Wow. And now, not anymore?
Now, what's the point?
Yeah.
If the government's going to be against it.
Well, this
is the first time ever.
The government is just like, they're really trying to say, I think speaking to the people of like the scared, ignorant faction of America, like, look, you don't have to worry about the secular world coming for you.
Right.
Now Americans, like, with this kind of shit, we will actually not be free from religious, like, BS and intolerance, essentially.
Everything
is what
Sessions
does.
And who do you think they're going to back?
Yeah.
Everything Sessions does is, like, a church and state separation issue. It's
crazy.
So yeah, and then
it's, like, separation, but then embracing the church fully, right?
Exactly. Like, yeah, the church is the state. And this is, like, a small gripe, but he doesn't even choose clever names to try to, you know, some hate groups will try to trick you. But the Religious Liberty Task Force couldn't sound more like a hate group.
Yeah.
Like, it just, they sound
task
fully strapped.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Any kind of force is like, it's bad.
Christ Force.
That would actually be more of a fun name than this one, which is just already feels like you can see like what this group looks like. Like, they have their own uniforms and go around and torment people. But I think when you put that against sort of what the climate is around the country, like, LGBTQ people are under dire threat with this administration and this DOJ.
Absolutely.
Like in Hastings, Minnesota, I was reading about like this small city, which was basically they signed like a resolution for like the city saying like celebrating all kinds of inclusion and supporting of diversity and like no matter what your gender, you know, race, everything. They were just sort of like, this is great. We as a city, we want to embrace this. Then 8 religious leaders popped up and pushed back on this resolution. And this group of quote-unquote religious leaders were insisting that gender dysphoria, which they described as confusion about gender identity, is factually unsubstantiated and hazardous to the well-being of our children and young adults. So when you start looking at this, you're seeing this more and more where it's like not shame. It's just completely shameless of being so...
Yeah, it's like when they labeled gay people as crazy and put you in an insane asylum.
Right, and this is the same thing of dehumanizing transgender people and being like, these people are confused. They're a threat to the status quo of our community, and they're slowly trying to seed this information like through the guise of these like religious leaders.
Or maybe they're just sure of themselves and all of society is being shitty to them.
Right, sure. You know?
It's so frustrating to see this, especially in, because we're so, you know, like protected here, but seeing in areas of the country that aren't necessarily known for always being progressive, making these progressive calls and then seeing them like gradually walked back is so fucking frustrating, because it's like, no, it took so long to get there.
Get there, this city to be like, yeah, we embrace our transgender community members.
A tiny place in Minnesota, are you kidding me? Like, that's incredible. And then to see this happen is so frustrating.
It seems like a common story, though, in politics, is like it always goes progressive for a while and then gets walked back.
Yeah, the pendulum will always swing back and forth.
But the thing is, it's like, freedom of like expression or being an individual always has like dominance. So I think progressive values generally move us ahead.
Right. No,
you know,
absolutely.
It's just a really slow process.
Well, then I guess that progress is then hindered even more when you have Jeff Sessions being like, well, look, if you're religious and you feel like this is dangerous or whatever, we'll come back you up because that's, you know, fear not. Good,
is
young,
this
good
the oldest
Christian.
Like government that's been in office in a while? Like, Jeff Sessions feels old as fuck. Trump is old as fuck.
Oh, like
everybody's,
you mean like
old.
In terms of being so out of,
yeah,
violently
out of
touch?
They're violently out of touch.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think it's...
Are they the richest cabinet? I don't know. Like, there's,
I don't know if they're rich.
I would like to know these things.
Like, I want to see a Reagan-Trump administration. Like,
or Bush 1.
I
feel like Bush
1
probably had
it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Bush 1 was old.
But I think, again, like also in places like Michigan, The court ruled there that transgender women are, in fact, not actual women. And this is because of a case.
They're not even trans. They're not even here. Yeah. I'm not here.
I'm not here. This is not Michigan.
This room is empty.
Right. Like, what the fuck?
Where all goes.
That's no, one way to live.
This case is from 2015 where a woman saw a transgender woman who she described as a man in the woman's locker room of her Planet Fitness gym. God. And she complained to management and warned other customers, and it prompted the gym to cancel her membership for inappropriate and disruptive behavior. So she sued Planet Fitness for over like $25,000 in damages, alleging that she suffered a violation of privacy as well as embarrassment, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. So she lost her suit over the damages, but they
can't
the court,
sue a planet.
Yeah. But she alleged that Planet Fitness misrepresented the nature of its contract when it said that she would have access to a private women's locker room, but did not disclose that so too would, quote, men who self-identify as women. In this court ruling, they kept using this same description when referring to this transgender woman. And so they're saying this inclusion of the policy would have affected her decision to purchase a membership and thus is irrelevant to her claim that Planet Fitness engaged in deceptive business practice. So we're increasingly in a world where even the courts are not doing their job of protecting all Americans. These are right. people in our community. There's nothing fucking dangerous about people you are not familiar with.
Yeah.
And this is like the theme of the U.S. right now.
How we do bathrooms. For one, why does the government get to tell you where to shit and piss? That's on a biological level. So you should be able to shit and piss wherever the fuck you want.
Like, that's perverted. Yeah, that's ultimately the most perverted thing in the world is the
where
president
the
thinking they can tell you where to shit and where you can't. Yeah.
Yeah, we tell you where to shit and can't. I mean, it's, yeah. you know, you're a human being. But no, I really feel like it will eventually have to come down to something where it's like a private bathroom or a public bathroom. That's it.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Get rid of the gender thing. It's irrelevant.
Oh, right, right, right.
Do you like to shit and piss by yourself? Do you mind being
in a one room one, or you want to every yeah. winner takes
or
all?
Do you want to make it a group thing?
That's it.
There and
that's literally it.
Probably. I mean, I've been to like when you go to like non-gender bathrooms that are multiple stalls. Mm-hmm. I don't mind being. I've been in bathrooms like that too.
Yeah.
And those stalls are actually better because each stall is a room, and you can take the wild shit in public and not have people hear it. And, you know, shout
some
out to those.
Some people are loud. Some people are private. I'm very private.
But I can't take a shit in public.
I think that a lot of people are loud. Exactly.
It.
So there you go.
No, I mean like out in the street in public.
Really? Because we've got some footage there.
Oh, boy.
We'll be fine.
No, seeing cases like this is so, it is really frustrating to see this poor woman who was, you know, trying to get justice just to be acknowledged as a fucking human being.
Right.
And then, you know, when you see cases like this, you know, the statistics of how often issues like this are actually reported and brought to court make total sense because the court is just used to absolutely humiliate someone
yeah.
for being who they are. And they're just, you know,
who wants
arguing
to get mired
their,
in that? Yeah.
Exactly. And then it's just like a public humiliation situation where evil wins and that's the American justice system.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy.
Awesome.
It's like when you think about people have been like, yeah, like this feels like what Mike Pence probably would have done if Trump resign and Pence became president all of a sudden.
Right.
This feels in line with like what his whole public
he's
like religious
up.
Liberty task force.
Because he really wants to like, I think the presidency has been a little up and down, especially with all the scandals or whatever. It's like it's really hard to ignore that like the FBI is like looking into the president
right.
and that like. A lot of his promises haven't happened. So this is a swing, especially gearing up to midterms, to go after the fucking Southern religious base.
Oh, yeah.
That's,
I mean,
it's the Southern strategy that
it's
like
just
Nixon
firing them up.
Created. It's
yeah.
like you just go always. Anytime there's any problem, it's like a big red button you can just push and be like, oh, but Jesus wants you to have guns and no abortions.
Right.
Like,
right.
You can just always go to that. And especially this is the new topic. Is,
it's like
know,
a full court press because yesterday Trump was like, I'll shut the government down over the wall. So, hey, let's dog whistle to all our xenophobes. Phobes out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have Jeff Sessions being out there being like, and I got this thing where it'll be legalized hate if you're Christian.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, this is the thing. It's like also with shit that's like so demonic like that, like it gets some leeway and then we walk it back. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, I feel like there's enough reasonable people who don't want to just straight up like murder poor people.
Yeah.
Like that
well,
work.
That's what was funny.
Hopefully
like last week
perhaps
we were talking.
Too optimistic. I don't know.
I don't know.
We were
maybe.
Talking about this woman last week who like writes for the ultra conservative Daily Caller. And she went to a rally where Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was speaking. and like describing Medicare for all. And
she comes
back. No, she comes back to Fox and like, what was it like? She's like, well, you know, like they're saying stuff like, yeah, like free education for your kid and healthcare for your kid and you. And like, it's all stuff you want to hear. And it's like, I can see how people would want that, but it's like, I don't know. Like, where do they? Who's gonna pay for it? Like,
it's like
it,
she's been hacked.
Death panels, dude.
Yeah, they
death
really
panels.
Didn't know how to like navigate that. Like, yes, of course, this appeals to people because we live in a country where the wealth divide is so great
like,
that
just,
we have people who literally can't afford to live.
It's like, just look like, at who owns your news network. How about that?
Right.
Like, look at their values.
Right. Exactly.
Like, that's how you know what the network. You know what their line is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was talking heads like that. I'm like, you may as well just have like baby back ribs of poor people in front of you while you're talking shit
right.
like that. It's just, ugh.
Well, I guess moving on to other stuff with the DOJ, obviously, and Jeff Sessions, things in his purview. Mm. But just quickly, I know we've been talking a lot about immigration, but we've kind of haven't updated on the fact that the child separation issue is still a problem and there are still families that have yet to be reunified. And there was also a story from BuzzFeed a few weeks ago about just sort of the general awful mistreatment of pregnant women who have been detained in these immigration detention facilities. And like they're talking about being denied proper prenatal care or even general care when they've miscarried in custody.
Oh my God.
And the stories are just, they're heartbreaking, like to the point where I don't even like just you can look at the links that we'll put in the footnotes because it's really, really dark. And if you think like it's abstract and it's just families being separated, no, there are mothers in there who are routinely just treated awfully because of their status as non-Americans. Mm. And it's just really disgusting to see these holier than thou conservatives who are so about pro-life or whatever, not give a flying fuck about these women who are in custody, who are actually being, you know, some women were being shackled around the stomach, like while they're in custody. That just seems like basic, like human decency.
Don't
like,
shackle a pregnant woman.
Yes.
Like they're.
It's just the over like militarization of the police force, like kind of bleeding down.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, look, like they just don't even know how to do this like in a humane way. It's
absolutely.
Like if you really want to make this case, why aren't you doing it the most humane way possible? Like make a really shining example of what it
right.
is you think. Why are you doing it in the most stormtrooper-esque fashion?
Yeah, because it just
it's
wants to be a warning to the
yeah,
anyone
right.
who
it's
else might
warning.
Be thinking about it.
It's a warning to people who aren't criminals, who do have family members inside the United States. They fucking talk to people.
Right.
Like the word gets out.
Yeah.
Like this shit is like awful.
It's
yeah.
it's and I mean obviously like the issue of like part of the reason that pregnant women would immigrate here is to have a better life for their child
right.
and the fact that the government is literally
putting that pregnancy at risk even with how they're being detained.
Yeah, they don't even
yeah.
get a fucking chance to
yeah.
like have it's just it's
funny
cuz
it's like they're like, well, they're going to come here and have the baby will become American and it's like I guess anchor baby right
mm-hmm.
is that the It's like, what's that kid going to do for the country? It's like, what the fuck are you doing for the country?
Yeah,
like,
right.
How are you making
causing misery.
Everyone's life better?
No, yeah.
You're not doing shit.
All they're doing.
You're making this country worse.
Yeah.
You're the fucking drain.
They're just making people who are scared of progress feel comfortable. Be like, well, look, we're treating them like shit so you can still feel good about what's going on in your life. But luckily, there are Democrats in the House and Senate who are now introducing bills to make sure that ICE and CBP are, at the very minimum, not shackling women who are in any phase of pregnancy, and also mandate that DHS goes to the Obama-era policy of where they would just have a pregnant woman, they would just set a court date, and then release them.
There you go.
And then that's fine.
Unless, humane.
Then,
it's like
great.
Also keeping in mind that it's like high levels of stress during pregnancy can cause a person to miscarry.
Right.
Like, so just the sheer act of doing this,
yeah, detaining
it doesn't matter
a pregnant,
if
yeah.
you fucking mm-hmm. like assault them or
exactly.
whatever. It's like...
Well, so let's move on to some other news. There was another installment of the.
This is very uplifting.
Well, you know, yeah, that's the show. Sometimes we have days where we're only talking about Taco Bell and Domino's, and other days it's heavier because you know.
Definitely do read the BuzzFeed story though.
Yeah,
it is.
You guys are
like,
making me admit I'm a communist.
Yeah, the BuzzFeed story is really compelling, and
yes.
if anything is abstract to anyone you know about this whole immigration debate, have them read that story, and if they still feel like, oh, yeah, this is fine, then maybe
Yeah, watch any of the videos. Watch any of the videos of these children who are like meeting up with their parents and they're clearly traumatized.
Yeah, 100%.
Any child psychologist would tell you.
Yeah. And then so yeah, so on Friday we found out that the head of CBS, Les Moonves, was written up by Ronan Farrow in the New Yorker for a string of sexual assaults and unwanted kissing and groping and just sort of general revenge type shit of women who were not favorable to his advances. Mm-hmm. And then we found out CBS yesterday was saying basically that they don't believe any of the accusations because they are saying, well, we're going to do our own investigation and then we'll Les Moonves will stay in his job until then as
CBS
we figure
reports.
This out.
Investigative. Yeah. We're sending the investigative branch.
It just feels like it feels odd. It's like one of those things where I don't know if it's because Les Moonves at CBS is like, because he's like the godhead figure of CBS. He's also too powerful.
Yes.
And he's been guiding the company into like just good profitability.
Yes.
That it's, I guess, different than Weinstein, where there was like his influence was waning. So there's still this protection happening. I don't know what is different about this.
100%. Well, that's it.
Right?
That's 100% it. Yeah. It's influence. It's power. It's who can you readily like topple down and everything? Because, I mean, also maybe this is timing, I'd say, because this is like pretty far now, not far really, but like in the news cycle into the Me Too like movement. So now you've seen other companies we're doing our own investigative research into it. So it sets a precedent and then companies think they can get away with it.
Well, this is I've been following stories like this for, I mean, everyone has, but I have a column on this exact topic coming out tomorrow in Paste. And it sucks because there has been so much progress made in the past. I think it's been almost 10 months since the first story broke, but it is reaching the point now where it's been enough time that some people who are in like kind of the first wave of these, you know, like your Louis C.K.'s and your, you know, even later your like Mario Batali's, they're already starting to plan how they're going to come back because there is, you know, there was so much progress in some ways, but you could also argue there were some sacrificial lambs of, you know, the Cosby.
More like symbolic sort of, yeah.
Right. And the people, and by and large, the people who have actually been punished had to do a lot. Like, you know, Cosby's got like 4,000 people that he's assaulted, and Harvey Weinstein got away with it for 25 years. And so when you see the Les Moonveses out there, they're like, oh, it's not that bad.
Right. He didn't rape someone.
Right. And so now it's reaching the point where people are already starting to come back and figuring out how they're going to come back. Mario Batali right now is in the middle of making a company where he plans to install a female CEO so that people won't argue with him. Like, it's just like a virus mutating.
Man, what a smart demon.
It's really, it's extremely fucked up.
I have a plan for all the comics. It's a comedy festival, and it's called the Monsters of Comedy. Cosby, C.K., Ansari, Hardwick, T.J. Miller.
Live
the
from,
Monsters of
from
Comedy.
Mike Pence's house.
But yeah, I mean, Hardwick got his job back. That was one. You know, T.J. Miller is back on shows. He's back at it. We got to hear what this guy's got to say. It's just...
Do you
it's
think there's a
appalling.
Responsibility of other comics to be like, I'm not going to perform with this person or like,
yeah,
you
probably.
Know, what's,
yeah.
is there,
and
I got,
there,
is there, yeah. yeah.
There has been like massive blowback when T.J. Miller was put back on shows. People were like not happy about it.
Yeah, especially when you can affect that change in your own social network. It's like, it makes perfect sense for like LA comics to be like, well, I prefer not to perform with this person. And you know what? Losing a spot for the night is not going to kill me.
Right.
So
right.
I would rather make, you know, I'd rather like myself than not like myself.
Yeah, or have my name on that list with that other name.
Like, yeah, sure.
Right.
Just,
and
openly, you said something and you made a point.
And that's, I think, what people are thinking about a lot now, where it's like, if everyone in LA comedy had banded together way sooner, like, Miller's shit wouldn't have been as much of an issue. But it's like, I know, to an extent, I was complicit in it, most of us knew about it, like, way before the story broke.
Sure.
But if people took this stand in, like, New York City stand-up comedy, there would be no New York City stand-up comedy.
Oh.
Hot take.
Like,
hot
they
take.
Don't even have any morals with it.
But the reason this bothers me is there was a really well-put-together segment about it. The main segment on Last Week Tonight this week was about workplace harassment and past...
Meow.
past attempts at movements like this, including...
Oh, this is when you're talking to Anita Hill, right?
Yes, where John Oliver interviewed Anita Hill. Is very good. But they are repeatedly referencing during the Anita Hill era, because that whole case was in 91, there was this huge movement of pro-female empowerment, and, and it was an analog to the Me Too movement that failed ultimately because after a while, there were a few sacrificial lambs that were taken down, and then, you know, the world moves on, and these guys sneak back into their jobs. Right. And so it's like if people are not very aware that this is happening, which they're not right now.
It needs to be legislation, like actual government change.
Right.
Because it affect this sort of thing.
Because if it's only been, you know, however many months, none of these people are learning anything. Like, it's just, they're just going away.
They're on timeout.
And coming back. Yeah, and you've even got the people who have, like, the clever PR of, like, you know, the, I think the one man I've heard of actually, like, apologizing was the Dan Harmon thing, where he actually apologized, and it was like, oh, this is at least the illusion of productivity.
Admitted it, at least, yeah.
In a way that was more self-aware than, like, hey, I'm sorry if whatever I did hurt somebody. Like, that seems like how a lot of other ones were written, too.
And he benefits from that, because 3 months after that, like, small thing, he gets, you know, 1,000 million episodes of Rick and Morty, and it's
Dick and Farty?
It's confusing to me that people don't see that taking actions like that, however, like,
it's a little duplicitous.
Yeah, I mean,
you want to save your own ass,
right? But it's like that is a net positive for culture. So it's like if you can't admit to your own mistakes, I don't know. It's I'm frustrated and concerned that the productivity of the whole movement.
Yeah,
is
it'll
slowing.
Be interesting what happens with CBS. Like if talent on the network speaks up and it says,
great,
like,
dude,
I don't know if I can be on a network that
and
basically
I think
it's from the top.
They find is this collective bargaining thing really does help. It's like if an entire cast say, I mean, very bad example, but Guardians of the Galaxy, all the cast was like, we want the director back. You fired him. We think that's bullshit. And that makes a bigger thing.
Right.
You know?
Right. Because then it's like an entertainment story.
So if people who work on that network, like, say something, that would absolutely affect change.
And then Moonvis, the last thing I wanted to say about that is just, like, most of it is that men need to evaluate their ingrained behaviors and sort of sort their shit out. And that's the big takeaway. And it has to start young and the whole bit. But because Moonvis, at the beginning of the Me Too movement, was, you know, like, raking in praise. And he was just like, yeah, we got to get these guys out of there. And either was, you know, like, I would buy that he was deeply in denial that he had any ingrained behaviors and had done any of this himself.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're a you know, man over the age of one, I would recommend just, you know, turning inward. You've probably done something fucked up and weird. And if you're confronted with that information, cop to it.
Yeah.
And in general, you will be, like, even if you're a selfish piece of shit, you'll be looked on more favorably
for
having
that and say, I recognize that and that's wrong. I can move forward. I'm trying to evolve past that. It's when people begin to defend themselves, even if, like, you know, just these half-assed apologies, they ring hollow, and that doesn't help anyone.
Yeah.
All right.
Like when Louis C.K. said the word dick in his apology.
Yeah. Ugh.
Jesus.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about more dick. And we are back. So,
the world is a vampire.
What happened with old Mila Kunis, Jamie? Because last week we were talking about how she basically said did something so fucked up to Macaulay Culkin that she's like, what I did was fucked up and how I did it was fucked up and I can't believe what happened.
All right. Hack
so what do we
O'Brien
know?
Here with Mila News. Mila hit the WTF this past week. She's hitting all the pods. All
right, lock the gates. Rogan Network getting the creatine shake.
So Marin and Kunis, they're good, as you would say. No, but he, like, doubled down on that question. Was like, I think referenced the first interview. Was like, yeah, you were telling Dax Shepard that you did some fucked up stuff and like, asked if she and Macaulay Culkin were on good terms, and she said, no, we're probably not as friendly as we could be. There's too many aspects of it that prevented us from ever moving forward, blah, blah, blah. So, but then I've since read some excellent timelines put together by some great content creators / scammers who are sort of saying, okay, this is what we think could have happened. Basically, it's possible. I wouldn't rule out that Ashton and Mila have possibly been dating on and off since That 70s Show, and it affected Ashton and Demi's marriage, and it also seriously affected Macaulay and Mila. So, which, I mean, that's kind of the most boring outcome of that.
Yeah.
And
now they're happy together.
Yeah. I know, which is actually kind of frustrating. It's like, God, they win.
They're just hanging out down the street. The same old dick. I sucked last week.
So upsetting.
Amazing.
Yeah, but you know, Macaulay Culkin's dating Brenda Song, so
okay.
Suck on that, Kunis.
Who dat?
She was on The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Oh wow!
So I was really excited about that.
She's like 14.
she's 14 years old.
I know that's dating
me.
That
like
I think
30.
The Sweet Life was only yesterday.
That was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was like
a decade,
Dylan and Cole Sprouse.
Dylan and Cole are my age.
They're like
old.
They are.
Yeah.
They were the little
like
kids
25.
From Big Daddy, right?
Yeah.
See, that's how I know them. And I was like, oh yeah, they played the twins on
Big
Daddy.
They're just senior citizens
kid from Big Daddy. So
oh,
they play
just,
two kids play.
Yeah, because you got to have twins to be able to work those 12-hour days, Bobby.
Twins.
Minors can't work those same hours of production.
So excited.
Hampton just had a seizure.
So excited.
Just figured it out.
I'm just excited. Why didn't they get into like the the Olsen twin type shit? You know, making like mystery novels and little.
They're not on their hustle like the old.
Well, I guess
they're very funny. They're like they're really good on social media.
All right, let's get into one more story because we talked about how Bigfoot's penis is literally a thing that's being discussed in a congressional race right now.
You guys ever see Bigfoot's dick?
It's almost like that.
You have Bigfoot's dick.
You ever seen it? You ever wonder what it's like? Is it circumcised?
I don't know why we're saying this
like it's a joke.
Well, I guess no.
We kink
not kink
shaming.
What's interesting is that in Virginia's 5th District, there is a man running named Denver Riggleman III.
Go on.
But he only runs as Denver Riggleman. But
he's the people's champ.
Yeah, and even though that, you know, there's reported associations with like neo-Confederate white nationalist leaders, that isn't the thing that's getting the most attention now.
That's a pass.
Yeah, because we're like, we're past fucking racist Nazi people running. What's the second layer of this? So we find out that his opponent, the Democrat Leslie Cockburn, she posted some really chill screen grabs from his now private IG account. And they're literally like photos like this. It's a sketched, ripped Bigfoot with a long sensor bar over
that
the crotch.
That is such a long sensor bar.
This guy apparently has a very interesting background. So there are like a couple photos where he was saying like, oh, they're goofs that my friend sent me. He's written books before. There was a book called Bigfoot Exterminators, Inc., The Partially Cautionary, Mostly True Tale of Monster Hunt 2006. Solid title. Very easy
Is
to remember.
Is that a Michael Crichton?
And then now these other images of the, as we call it, the Bigfoot erotica, apparently are like promotional images that he was floating around. He's calling it cover art for his new book, which is called The Mating Habits of Bigfoot and Why Women Want Him. So take that in for a second.
I mean, some kink shaming's funny.
This is, I guess if you want to be with a mythical
let's
creature.
Let's be honest. Like, adult babies, it's funny.
Adult babies, right.
Adult person says, I'm a little baby, how do you expect me not to laugh?
I clap and I cheer.
You can laugh, but I'm going to be like, but if that's how you got to get your jollies, you know, do you.
I jingle the keys in front of them. I play.
I love the whole kink community is fun and wild.
Oh, yeah.
Love it.
Oh, yeah. I guess we have a little time to talk a little bit about the Tea Report with Topher Grace.
Tea Report.
So he dated Ivanka Trump.
He did. He's kind of spinning it to make people see his new movie.
Get the fuck out of here.
I know. He's a little dodgy about it. But
he kind of sucks, maybe.
Oh, no, I was saying this earlier. I think if we're ranking...
Shittiest 70s show people?
Oh, okay.
Obviously, Danny Masterson. Danny Masterson is dead. But I think Topher Grace is the second worst one.
And he's the coolest one is Red, because he was in RoboCop.
Red in canonically. But I would go Danny Masterson, obviously trash, bad. Topher Grace, just like not someone I want to look at. Didn't love Win a Date with Tad's whatever.
Tad Hamilton.
Hampton loves that movie.
Oh, yeah. I watched a couple of Topher Grace movies. I thought he was my guy. And then he turned out to be the shitty guy also.
Wilmer, it might be my...
Wilmer's just kind of...
He's a middling guy. He's
and then
in the
Ashton
middle.
There's nothing bad about him. Like, I'm just not interested in Wilmer Valderrama.
Yeah, he's just a guy. He was, isn't he Yo Mama? Wasn't that his show?
Oh, yeah, he did do Yo
that
Mama.
That was his show. Anyways, Topher Grace briefly did date Ivanka Trump in 2005. Ivanka Trump, then a 24-year-old New York socialite, this is from The Cut, dumped her long-term boyfriend, wait for it, Bingo Goobelman. And
wait, that's an actual name?
Yeah, who hasn't raw-dogged a guy named Bingo? Bingo. We've all been there.
Oh, Bingo was his name-o. Let's move on.
Bingo was his name-o. And then she rebounded briefly with Topher Grace. And he was spotted at her 25th birthday party, which was also attended by Ryan Cabrera, Chelsea Handler, and Maroon 5's Adam Levine.
Okay.
So what cool. he has to say about it is he never met Donald Trump. He didn't do it for political reasons. Please go see Black Klansman. Like, that was basically the whole
Topher.
Thing.
What?
But Topher's in Black Klansman?
He plays a white Klansman.
I don't know what to make of this anymore.
I know.
Now I want to watch the movie.
I love how people use, like, tangential Trump stories to try and
That's
promote
so funny
something.
That he had to really just specify. He's like, I just wanted
like
to
I Frenched
fuck.
His daughter.
He had to really make it clear.
In the thing, though, he does say that they dated.
Well, yeah, he said that they like went on a couple of dates. It seems like she was coming off a bingo.
Yeah.
And yeah, he hooked up with her a couple of times.
Well, guess what? So did Quincy Jones.
What an opportunistic thing to mention, though. And then you have to really specify. And by the way, I wasn't fucking her because her father's a racist. I don't do that.
And I didn't meet him because I'm political, because I don't want to put off any right-wing people who might see this movie, too.
Right? Yeah, like, dude, what are you talking about?
Like,
this is a non-story. Yeah. You should just be like, hey, I met Ivanka once. See
I've,
this movie.
I've
end of
fucked
story.
Some celebrities.
They did meet.
I guarantee you, yes.
They did meet when Ivanka was traveling with Paris Hilton at the premiere bash for her hit single, one of my faves, Stars Are Blind.
Really? That's a good one.
Yes. So there is that. And that's the T Report, baby.
All right. Oh,
I've been Hack O'Brien.
Wow. Throw the shades right back on.
Yes.
How come Paris hasn't come out with another banger?
The only one was a great one.
I mean, she's probably in the lab right now. If
there she is.
She's in the lab with a pen and a pen.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
She's chefing something up.
She's working. Yeah, she's chefing it up. Well, Hampton, it has been a pleasure. Tell people where they can find you, support you, Venmo you, whatever you want to do.
Please. Guys, I run a podcast myself. It's a comedy mental health podcast. It's called Suicide Buddies. It's with me and Dave Ross. He's a comic you had on
yesterday.
And it's funny, and it's basically we talk about depression, mental health, and we often discuss like a suicide in history that we kind of want to analyze and talk about like what the fuck happened.
Amazing.
You know, so.
What's your interest in mental health? How'd you guys get started on that?
I've had like suicidal depression for a long part of my life. Uh-huh. And like I've also like talked about it in my stand-up and like been able to like be funny-ish, you know, and talk and just be open about it. And like that's oftentimes what people most wrote to me or wanted to talk to me about or something. So I kind of knew that like maybe there was something there.
Amazing.
Know? Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, check that
it's
podcast
a great cat.
Suicide Buddies.
What about on the interwebs? You on social meds?
Yeah. Check me out on Twitter. That would be the easiest. At Hampton Yunt.
All right.
It's mostly self-promotion right now, guys. I'm trying to get funny again.
There you go.
It's going to be boring for a little bit, but I post a lot of good art. So
there you go.
It's true.
Are there any tweets that you've read recently that you're liking in particular that you want to shout out?
Yeah. This one I selected earlier, and it actually ties into the collusion thing. It's Elliot Kalin. He's a head writer at Mystery Science Theater 3000, and he wrote, collusion doesn't have to be listed as a crime. Treason is a crime. The same way hurling someone into the sun isn't listed as a crime because murder is a crime.
What about you, Hacky?
Old hacky sack over here.
Hacky sack.
I'm gonna choose a tweet that involves me because apparently I'm obsessed with myself. So I did a few Zeitgang people were asking me about this because sometimes the Zeitgang doesn't quite. They're like, what is the youth? So
what is the youth?
What is youth? Me don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Your girl is here to help. I'm choosing a tweet by Tabasco Sweet, my friend and associate. Last week we were talking about my terrifying Ariana Grande, Venti cosplay. So that video went up today. Shout out to Sworn Enemy at Jamie Loftus Help for roasting me during my special moment. There's a 20-minute video of me insulting Tabasco Sweet that came out today. And so that's the tweet I will cite.
20 minutes of verbal abuse from
you. Yeah.
Amazing. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. Let's see, what a tweet I like. Oh, it's from Travis Helwig, the homie Travis Helwig. He wrote a tweet, he said, if you're under 30 and you, quote, love to travel, congrats, you grew up rich. And then it set off a whole thing underneath her, be like, what if I just worked my whole life? It's like, okay, easy, buddy. I'm not trying to take away that you're a hard worker. It's a commentary on our society. You can also find The Daily Zeitgeist pretty much everywhere. We're on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist, on Instagram at The Daily Zeitgeist. We're on Facebook, got a fan page so it can be hacked by Russians. What else? We got a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where you can find links to our shows and our
footnotes.
There we go. There, everybody chimed in on that one. And also a link to the song that we ride out to. And today, I think, you know, obviously a bit of a heavy episode, so I want to play a very bright song that almost gets so happy. If you don't start smiling when you listen to this, get your smile muscles checked. I don't know how to finish that. But this is a song by Celeste called Amor a Tres. And yeah, it's just got it just feels like I'm on a beach smiling, the sun is baking me, and I'm drinking something refreshing.
Aww.
So take that, because only Tuesday and we live in a hellscape.
We live in active hell. Miss
Suicide
you, Jack.
Suicide buddies.
All right, guys, we'll see you soon.
Deal with that depression.
Bye.
Outra vez.
Sabe por quê?
Eu não quero fazer parte desse amor a três. E não adianta nem tentar me convencer.
Sabe por quê?
Essa foi demais, é dose pra não se esquecer. Não pensava em encontrar outro amor em meu lugar. Pra que que eu fui chegar assim dessa maneira de surpresa? Nem falar, meu coração chorava de tristeza. Você quis me enganar quando nem esperava, entrei em cena. Podia evitar que acabasse nosso amor, foi uma pena.
Que pena, que pena, que pena.
Outra vez.
Sabe por quê?
Eu não quero fazer parte desse amor a três. E não adianta nem tentar me convencer.
Sabe por quê?
Essa foi demais, é dose pra não se esquecer. Não pensava em encontrar outro amor em meu lugar. Pra que que eu fui chegar assim dessa maneira de surpresa? Não pude nem falar, meu coração chorava de tristeza. Você quis me enganar, quando nem esperava entrei em cena. Podia evitar que acabasse o nosso amor, foi uma pena.
Que pena, que pena, que pena.
Agora eu te vivi, pa, 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 pa. Oh,